She was going to watch it, so maybe she's home watching it. I don't know, and I say, hey, watch it and have a good time. So it's been just a busy summer. We've been running every single weekend. And so she was just kind of wore out. She just needed a weekend to not run again. So she's home. But because actually we're doing a wedding next week in Ohio for some other pastor friends of ours. Their son's getting married, so we're doing that wedding. So we have a lot just going on this whole summer. But anyway, so she sends her love, and maybe we'll have a chance to visit some other time. I wanted to just strongly encourage you. I heard you talking about these grow groups. So back home in our church, I oversee our small group ministry. So I really have a heart for small groups. So I want to strongly encourage you, if you're not, already on that sheet, sign up. Because really, this is what I tell people all the time, because I think it's true. And I think that we all need three things to really do well in our walk with Christ. First of all, we need to have, obviously, our own personal time with God, because there are things that happen in that environment that will not happen anywhere else. We all need to have some time, just one-on-one, you and God, and nothing else. However, that doesn't mean that we don't come to church too, right? Because we also need to come corporately and gather with the saints. Why? The same reason, because there are things that will happen in this environment that you're not going to get by yourself. And so I think that, folks usually get both of those. Okay, yeah, pray, Bible reading. Okay, I understand that. You'll go to church. Okay. But it's the third thing that I think that some people struggle, because they're like, well, I'm so busy. I'm running. There's so much going on. I don't think I have time to go out on a Tuesday or whatever day it is. But I think that third thing, it's kind of like the Oreo cookie. You have the two cookies and the thing in the middle, that just kind of cements the whole thing together. I think is that we all need to be in some kind of a small group on a consistent basis. We all need to have a small group that we're, how it says it in Proverbs, iron sharpens iron. So I would strongly encourage you, make room in your schedule, because that really is, I believe, sort of the secret sauce, if you will, that yes, you have your time with God alone. Yes, you come to church on Sundays, but also you need to be, all of us need to be plugged into some kind of a consistent small group ministry. That's really where I think gunpowder gets lit. Okay, how about that? And then we see good things happen. So anyway, just my little, she didn't ask me to do that. I just felt I should say that, because I have a heart for small group ministry, and I believe that it's really, really a good thing. So please find a way, make a way to plug in, and you won't be sorry. Amen. So I want to ask you guys to open up your Bibles, please, to 1 Timothy chapter 1. Open up your iPhones, your whatever. Open up your eyelids, okay? 1 Timothy chapter 1. And so, this is my first time here, but happy to be here. And so we come from Beaver County, so we're about 4 hours west of here, where we're almost on the Ohio line, probably about 13 miles from the Ohio line. So we're still in Pennsylvania, but we're way on the western side. But we do have family in your area. I actually stopped last night up in Mechanicsburg. We have a son and his wife and their granddaughter. So I had a chance to go see them for a little bit last night too. So that was also fun too. But anyone who knows me and Lori, my wife, knows that we're book lovers. And so we've always been. And so we just love books. And so over the years, I've been really blessed to enjoy many, many good books that have enriched my life. And so it's always been on my heart to write books. And so several years ago, I started to write some books, and I actually brought one with me. It's out in the foyer later, so you can get one if you want later on. But I wanted to just talk to you about the message of that book. And I called that book, and I'm going to call this message this morning, The Empowered Life. The Empowered Life. And so here in 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 12, I love this scripture here. Paul says, I thank Christ Jesus, our Lord, who has given me strength. Okay, because when we talk about being empowered, that means that somebody or something is giving you power, and authority and ability to perform something. So it's kind of like at work, maybe you get empowered by your boss to go do something. So now you've been given the authority, you've been given the rank, you've been given the skills because you went to school, training, whatever. So now you've been given something, you've been endowed with some kind of ability, strength, power, authority. Something's been given to you. Why? For a purpose, to accomplish a task. And so this is what he's saying to us. He's saying, I thank Christ Jesus our Lord who has empowered me. He has given me strength, ability, God's ability. Why? To do his work. Now, that might seem so simple, but, you know, we at times, you know, we're asking for God's power, we're asking for God's ability. However, God's power, God's ability comes to us, why? To do his work. Because I don't need God's power to do my own thing. I can do that all by myself, right? So I need God's power if I'm going to do his work. I remember hearing this one guy talk one time. He said, He was actually preaching, and he was talking about someone that he knew told him this story. He said that his friend one day was at home praying, and so he's just walking around the house praying, and he's just asking God for more power. Lord, I need more power. God, I need more power. God, give me your power. He's praying, walking through the house and everything. So after I don't know how long, he, for whatever reason, ended up in the bathroom. And he's kneeling in the bathroom, and he's just like hanging over the toilet. And so in that moment, he got quiet finally, and he said that he heard the Lord say to him, the toilet does not need healed. And so the light bulb went off. He's been praying for all this time, I need more power, I need more power, God give me power. And so God's saying, I'll give you the power, but you're not putting yourself in a place where the power needs to show up. And so if you want God's power, then you need to put yourself in a place where there's a demand for that power. So if you're just going to stay in your house all day and pray for power, you don't need power to just stay at home by yourself, right? You need power to be out there doing the will of God. And so, you know, thankfully, the Lord empowers us with his word, with his spirit, with his grace, and he gives us strength. He gives us ability outside of ourselves to do his work. And so, you know, when you talk about being empowered, there are like three characteristics of living what you would call an empowered life. And so the first one would be a sense of vision, a sense of perspective, that you have a clear vision for what you want to do with your life. You can see, here's my future. I want to do this. I was made to do that. I have a destiny. I have a calling to do something. You have a vision for your future. It's clear. Okay? So you have a sense of vision. Secondly, you have a sense of purpose. Okay? Because that usually goes hand in hand. If you have a sense of vision, then it also goes with it. It's kind of like you have a purpose to do something. So you can live an empowered life when you feel like you're doing something that is important, something that is significant, something that matters. You're not just going through the motions. You're not just living life. You're not just, you know, get up, walk the dog, you know, mow the grass, you know, go to work, do this. You're doing something that you feel is worth your time and effort. You're doing something meaningful with your life. And then the third thing is that you also feel equipped. You feel ready. You feel like prepared to do it. And so when you have this vision and you have this sense of purpose that you're doing something meaningful and important, and when you feel ready, when you feel equipped, when you feel you have what it takes to do that, and you mix all those things together, you get what I would call an empowered life. Now you're ready to march out and to do what God wants us to do. I want you to go with me over to John 17. This has been a verse that I've loved for a long time. And this is Jesus in the garden, and he's, you know, getting ready to go to the cross, and he's nearing the end of his earthly life. And he says, you know, obviously everything he says is important, but he says something here very, very telling that I want us to just get in our hearts here in John 17. And you know, this when you read John's gospel, you know, you see you know, it's not like the other gospels. There's like some things that are, you know, different than Matthew, Mark, and Luke. And so in John, when you read, there's this long discourse in John 13, 14, 15, 16. It's all red letter if you have a red letter Bible. And he's talking about the Holy Spirit, and he's talking about things to come. And he's talking about, you know, what's going to happen after he goes to heaven. And here in John 17, he begins to pray, and you see here in verse 4, he's praying and he's speaking to his heavenly Father, and he says something that has just always gripped my heart. He says, "I brought glory to you here on earth by completing the work you gave me to do." I love that. I love that. And so I want that to sink in, because I want us just to get a vision of that, of not Jesus saying that in the garden, but of you saying that at the end of your life, of you being able to look God in the eye and be able to say that, and that be your testimony. There's nothing more important. There's nothing more valuable. There's no price tag. You can't put any comparison on what that's worth, to be able to run your course, live your life, do your job well, and get to the end of your life and say, "Father, I have brought glory to you on earth by what? Completing the work you gave me to do." Man, what a sense of satisfaction. Well done, good and faithful servant. Not, "Okay, well, I guess you're done." No, it's, "Well done, okay, by completing the work." And so that's what I want us to get in our heart. I want us to have this overwhelming enthusiasm, this just passion that I'm going to run my race and I'm going to give it all I got, and I'm going to be sure with the help of God that I'm going to get to the end of my days and be able to say with all honesty and with all sincerity, "I brought you glory." Why? Because I completed the work you gave me to do. Now, you're not going to do that by yourself, right? You're going to do it, why? Because God empowers us, right? And so you are in no way going to complete the work that God gave you to do without being empowered. But first of all, I think it's so important that we even just appreciate the fact that God's given us work to do. I mean, I just love that. That life isn't just about just have fun and just do whatever you want to do, and just whoever has the most fun, whoever has the most toys, whoever has, because we had this mentality in our society today that life is all about just entertainment and just have fun. And just had more fun. And then had more fun on top of that. And I'm not against fun. I'm not preaching. I think I'm a fun person. I like to have fun too. But let's be real here. Life isn't simply about fun. Because you can have a whole lot more fun doing the work of God than you will do anything else. I think that the most fun is to get to the end of your life and say, "Lord, I completed the work that you gave me to do." And so I hope that you can embrace that sense of purpose, that sense of vision, that God's given you work to do. God's given you work to do. You know, I like, it's in Joshua chapter 11, verse 15. It says that Joshua left nothing undone of all the things that Moses commanded him. I love that. I mean, don't you want to be someone like that? That, you know, when God gives you the instructions, you leave nothing undone. You get it all done. You don't miss anything. And so that's what I'm talking about. I want to be someone who I am going to leave nothing undone. I'm going to finish it. I'm going to get everything done that God has placed in my lane. Now, I don't know what's in your lane, but that's for you to find out. That's for you to seek him. That's for you to, you know, search out, and he will help you. But, you know, Jesus even told us here in John 15:16, he says, you didn't choose me, I chose you, and I have appointed you to go and bring forth fruit, fruit that will last. So that means that there's some kind of specific fruit that is meant to come out of your life. So, you know, not all fruit looks the same, right? We have strawberries, we got bananas, we got oranges, we got apples, we got all kind of fruit. And so there's some kind of fruit that is supposed to come out of your life. There's a work, there's an outcome, there's a result, there's something that God wants to do with your life. I don't know about you, but that gets me excited. That means that it's not just another day. It's not just a Monday. It's not just a Tuesday. It's not just an ordinary day. This is the day the Lord has made. I'm going to rejoice and be glad in it. Why? Because this day exists for me to accomplish His purposes for me. You can't be bored serving God unless you're not doing it right. Because God's not boring, amen. And so, you know, I just feel so privileged. I just feel so blessed. I just feel so honored that I get to do what God's called me to do. I don't have to. I get to. It's an honor. It's a privilege. It's a joy that I get to do something significant with my life. Not because of who I am, but because of who I'm hanging out with. Amen. And so life doesn't have to be just some dead end where we just go through the motions and do the best we can. And then we come to the end of it and we feel like something's missing. And I think that if people were honest, I think that there's a whole lot of that going around. Because we're told life's all about this, life's all about that, and then they do it, and then they end up saying, there's got to be more to it than this. And so that actually makes you think about the story in Luke 5, you know, where Jesus one day borrowed Peter's boat. You can see it later. So you know, Peter, he was a fisherman, and so one day Jesus asked Peter if he could step in his boat and preach for a while. And Peter's like, okay, sure, go ahead. So here's Jesus preaching in his boat for a while. And so then after he's done, they come back to shore. And he says to Peter, now go cast your nets out for a catch. And so Peter's like, sorry, preacher, I've been out all night long. We didn't catch a thing. If you knew like I knew, because I'm a fisherman, you're just a carpenter, that you fish at night. Okay, you don't fish during the day because the sun hits the water and so they see the net and they don't swim in it. So we fish during the dark. So he's like, you know, we were out all night, didn't catch a thing. But he said, but just to be nice, because you said so, because I like you, because you asked so nicely, okay, I'll do it. And so he did it. And so they went out and they cast their nets. And then what happened? They got this motherload catch and their boats are sinking. Their nets are bursting. And they're like, come and bring some help. And they're dragging in this catch of all catches to shore. And so so what I'm thinking about all this is that this is Peter's dream. He's dreamt of a catch like this. If I could only catch this catch, then all my dreams would come true and I would have reached the pinnacle. And so it happens. He gets the catch of a lifetime. And then in that moment, this is just my own little, you know, musings on it. I feel like Jesus and Peter make eye contact. And Jesus is saying to him, not with words, but just with his eyes, he's saying, I told you so. Because now he got what he thought he wanted. He got what he's been searching for all his life. And it didn't do what he thought it was going to do on the inside. He still felt the same. He still felt like there's got to be more than this. And then Jesus says, leave your nets. Come follow me. And I'll teach you how to fish for men. Ah, and now he hits the nail on the head. Why? Because he's saying to Peter and he's saying to us, you were made for something more than just making a living and just getting as much as you can. You were made for something more. You were made for something greater. You were made for something so much more significant than just, you know, staying up with the Joneses. whoever they are, okay? He said you were made to do something significant of eternal value. And so I think that that rings true for all of us, is that there's maybe something that we might think is so important that we want, but then, you know, when you get it, you're like, eh. And so you're like, there must be something more. Why? Because there is something more. And so that more is what? It's the work that God's given you to do. It's the purpose. It's the reason for the empowered life. You don't just need an empowered life just to do your own thing. You need the empowered life to accomplish what He's called you to do. And so that's the quest. That's the pursuit. That's the hunger of our hearts, is, Lord, help me be on that path. Help me be in a place where I need your power, because one, I need your power, but also now when I'm in a place where I need his power, I know that I'm in the place where I need to be, because that's where he wants me to be, because I'm doing his work. So it's a win-win. So I'm in the right place, and I'm getting empowered at the same time. And so now I'm going to be able to accomplish what he's called me to. And then I'm happy. He's happy. We're all happy. Life is good. Amen. Hallelujah. So how do we get there? Well, let's go over to Proverbs 4, and let's look at Proverbs for a little bit. Proverbs 4. And let's look at verse 18. So yeah, I mean, we could preach all day long about God has a calling, God has a purpose, God has a plan for your life. And I think that we know that and we embrace that. And so that's something that we should embrace, and so we should celebrate. But also, let's go one step further. Okay, so if we know that, if we believe that, if that's real to us, okay, then what's the next step? How do I get there? So, how can I move further along in this thing called God's will, God's plan, God's purpose for my life? Well, a lot of things that we can do, but here's a few I think that will encourage you. Proverbs 4, look at verse 18. And I'm reading from the FBI Bible, the full-blooded Italian Bible. No, I'm just kidding. From the NLT Bible, okay? And it says here, the way of the righteous is like the first gleam of dawn, which shines ever brighter. Say ever brighter. Ever brighter. I like those words. Ever brighter until the full light of day. But the way of the wicked is like total darkness. They have no idea what they are stumbling over. So Proverbs likes to do this. It always gives you this contrast. So it'll give you the way of the wise and the way of the fool, the way of the righteous, the way of the wicked. And so you see this way, you see that way. And so here again, we see there's this light and dark, light and dark. So he says that the way of the righteous, the path that God puts us on, he says, can be compared to or can be likened to the rising of the sun. So have you ever seen the sunrise? Maybe you've been to the beach or you've been somewhere and you see it. I don't mean just like a glimpse, but you see the whole thing from start to finish. And it's an awesome thing. And you see just over the horizon, you see just a little speck of orange or something, and then what happens? It gets bigger, and it gets bolder, and it gets brighter, and it gets hotter, until what? Until it hits high noon, the full light of day. And so that's what he's saying here. He's saying that the path that God wants you to be on should be like that, where it's going to shine ever brighter. That means that your best days are never behind you. Your best days are always in front of you. Amen. Because it's ever brighter. It shines brighter and brighter and brighter until you hit the full light of day, and that's when you step into heaven, and man, it's this light like you can't even explain. So yes, we're all getting older. It's okay. Don't let people get on you because you're getting older. People say, oh, you're getting older. You're like, what am I supposed to do, stop breathing? It like beats the alternative. I mean, yeah, I'm getting older. I'm supposed to get older. I'm supposed to live out my days. What do you want me to do? My days, my best days are not behind me. My best days are straight ahead. How about you? Amen. Amen. Because we're on the path, the way of the righteous. Amen. And so he says here in verse 20, my child, those who are on the path of the righteous, pay attention to what I say. Listen carefully to my words. Do not lose sight of them. Let them penetrate deep into your heart. Do you see that there's a connection between what you're looking at and what ends up in your heart? He says, don't lose sight of them, but rather let them penetrate deep into your heart. So you see, where your eyes go is what's going to end up in your heart. And so he says, you know, listen carefully. Don't lose sight of them, your eyes, your ears. And he says, because what? Because those have a pathway into your heart. For they bring life to those who find them and healing to their whole body. Guard your heart above all else. Why? For it determines the course of your life. You could say your heart, or the condition of your heart, is the birthplace of your future. He says, guard your heart, for it, what? Your heart. And he's saying a heart filled with the Word of God. That's what he wants us to have. That's the heart that he says that we need to have if we're going to walk this way of the righteous. If you want your future to be ever brighter, if you want your best days to never be behind you, if you want to shine brighter and brighter, if you want to achieve what God's called you to do, if you want to be like David, how it says in Acts 13:36, how he served God's purposes in his own generation and then went to heaven. If you want to live a life like that, he says, then here's the heart that you need to do it with. You need to have a heart that is filled with the Word of God. You need to have a heart that's empowered by God, because then it will determine the course of your future. Amen. You're not going to do it any other way. You're not going to be able to do it anyway. I can't, you can't, no one can do it any other way. It needs to take a heart that is equipped and empowered and filled with the Word of God. Our heart is the birthplace of our future. And he's talking about what? He's talking about don't lose sight of his word. Listen carefully to his word. He's saying focus on the Word of God. So I'm saying to you, if you want to get to the end of your days like Jesus and say, Lord, I have brought you glory because I have completed the work you gave me to do, it's going to take someone who's focused. Focused on what? Focused on the Word of God. Focused on the will of God. Focused on the purpose of God. Let's go over to Acts 2. I want to show you something here. So we're talking about Jesus and how, you know, he got to the end of his earthly life and was able to say that. But how? How did he do that? I want to show you something that I think is just fascinating here. It's in Acts 2, starts in verse 22. And so Peter's preaching on Pentecost, and he begins to talk about Jesus. And he says here in Acts 2, 22, he says, people of Israel, listen, God publicly endorsed Jesus the Nazarene by doing powerful miracles, wonders, and signs through him, as you well know. But God knew what would happen, and his prearranged plan was carried out when Jesus was betrayed. With the help of lawless Gentiles, you nailed him to a cross and killed him. But God released him from the horrors of death and raised him back to life, for death could not keep him in its grip. Can you say amen? And then he says, King David. So now what's he doing? Now he's starting to quote from Psalm 16. And he says here, King David wrote way back in Psalm 16. He says, King David said this about him. So Peter's saying that Psalm 16 that was written by David wasn't only written about David, it was written through the Spirit of God talking about Christ who would come. And so these words, he say, apply not just to David, they apply to Jesus, and I believe that they can also apply to us too. He says, King David said this about him.
meaning Jesus, I see that the Lord is always with me. I will not be shaken, for he is at my right hand, or he is right beside me. Okay, and so that's from Psalm 16, verse 8. Some other versions say, I have set the Lord always before me. I have set the Lord always before me. Therefore, I will not be moved. Or therefore, I will not be shaken. Or I will not be overcome. Or I will not be stopped. So, Jesus didn't just, you know, accidentally get to the end of his life and say, oh Lord, I brought you glory because I did everything you wanted me to do. No, he had to work at it. Yeah, but he was Jesus. Yeah, but he was a man who lived his life anointed by the Holy Spirit. He was 100% God, 100% man, and so that's the mystery that we can't always figure out, but he didn't do what he did as God, because if he did, how could we do it? He did it as a man who was anointed by the Holy Spirit, and he set the example and said, now you go do the same. And so when he got to the end of his life, he did it because why? He lived his life focused on the scriptures, and he lived his life in step with the Holy Spirit. Like, oh, wait now, John, you're like setting the bar really high now. You're saying I got to live like Jesus? No, I'm saying you get to live like Jesus. I'm not saying you're Jesus, but I'm saying that you have access to the same empowerment that Jesus had. When we're talking about the empowered life, you read in Luke 4, and so Jesus was just baptized by John. You're saying about being water baptized. Jesus did it. It's good for him. It's good for you too. Get water baptized. Amen. So Jesus got water baptized, and then in Luke 4:1 it says, and Jesus being filled with the Spirit was then led by the Spirit into the wilderness where he was tempted by the devil for 40 days. And so at the end of that, we see in verse 14, Luke 4:14, it says, and Jesus came out of the wilderness full of the power of the Spirit. So you see this pattern in there. He was filled with the Spirit, he was led by the Spirit, and he was empowered by the Spirit. And so see, that's the example, that's the model, that's the path that God wants us to be on. I'm not saying we're Jesus. We all know that we're not. We've all fallen way short of his standard. But I'm saying that we have access to the same empowerment that he had. Maybe not to the same degree, because God gave him the Spirit without measure. But we can tap into the same power because it's the same God and we're in the same family. And so he wants us to have the same tools to get the work done. Amen. Amen. That makes me excited. Hallelujah. And so look what he says here. Now David's writing in Psalm 16, but he's writing this not about him. He's writing this about Jesus. And he says, no wonder my heart is glad and my tongue shouts his praises. My body will rest in hope. You see, now we're getting a glimpse into what's going on in the heart and mind of Jesus as he's approaching the cross. He says that his heart is glad and his mouth is praising, and he's going to go to the grave in hope. I mean, he's going to the cross. There's nothing hopeful. There's nothing joyful. There's nothing to praise about that. But he saw beyond that. Why? Because he says, I have set the Lord always before me. Therefore, I will not be shaken. Therefore, I will not be moved. Therefore, I will not be stopped. And then he says here, for you will not leave my soul among the dead or allow your Holy One to rot in the grave. You have shown me the way of life, and you will fill me with the joy of your presence, meaning that you will raise me again, and I'll be in heaven with you where I belong. And so we see this is what's going on in the heart of Jesus. He's trusting in God to get through the cross, past the cross, and to get to the resurrection and to get to the right hand where he belongs. And so that means that you and I can tap into this same empowerment to do what? I have set the Lord always before me. So I means what? That you got to do it. No one's going to crawl inside your head and flip some switches or turn some dials. No one can do it for you. You need to choose for yourself. I need to choose for myself. He said, I have set the Lord always before me. Pastor D can't make it happen for you. Your husband, your wife, your kids, your friend, your neighbor, no one else can do it for you. You need to make that choice for yourself. I will set the Lord always before me. And then he says what? He says, will set the Lord what? Always. Continually. Why? Because we all know that in life, there are some days when you feel up and some days when you don't feel so up. Okay? There are days when you feel like you can run through a troop and climb over a wall. Other days you feel like, I don't want to get out of bed. And so you need to always choose life every day, every day. Good days, bad days, when it's working, when it's not working, when you feel like it, when you don't feel like it. You need to always, this needs to be your consistent habit. I'm going to set the Lord always before me. It's got to be not just a one-time thing. Yeah, I got saved in 1979. Well, good for you, but it's 2021. Amen. What have you been doing since then? Hallelujah. You know, so sure, you're here now, but will you be here in 6 months? Will you be here next year? You got to be consistent. You got to be faithful. You got to do it always. You can't just do it only sometimes or when you feel like it or when it's convenient. You got to do it always. I have set the Lord always, what? Before me. Before me. So what's he talking about? He's talking about vision. He's talking about focus. He's talking about what are you looking at? He's saying, I have set the Lord, I have set his promises always before me. I'm going to look at his word. I'm going to trust in his promises. I'm going to look at what his word says. Because if you don't, man, this world will fill your mind with all kinds of other things. There's a whole lot of other things to pay attention to, right? The news, the circumstances, someone's opinion. People have got all kinds of opinions. But what are you going to set your focus on? What are you going to set before you? That's up to you. And so what you choose to set before you, that's the birthplace of your future. Because he says, guard your heart. Guard your heart. Why? Because it determines the rest of your life. Guard your heart. How do you do that? This is what we're talking about. Guard your heart by setting the Lord always before you. If this is what got Jesus through the cross and back into heaven, then it'll certainly get you through what you need to get through. Amen. Because what we need to get through doesn't come anywhere close to what he needed to get through. He bore the sins of the world. We just got to do our thing. Amen. So if this is what Jesus did to get through what he needed to do and to say, Lord, I completed the work that you gave me to do, then it'll work for you too. Amen. So I find that encouraging. There's hope for you. Amen. You've got what it takes. Not because of who you are, but because of who he is. You've got what it takes. He's going to empower you with what you need to be able to complete and finish the work and do what he's called you to do. Amen. You know, I like in John 1, you know, they sent people to John the Baptist and they asked him, they said, who are you? Because they thought maybe he was the Christ because he was baptizing and preaching. And so they said to him, I think it's in John 1, 19, they just said, who are you? Give us an answer so we have something to tell the people who sent us. And so they said, who are you? Tell us, what do you say about yourself? And so he answered by using the words of Isaiah and said, I am a voice crying in the wilderness, make straight the way of the Lord. And so what's the takeaway for us is that we need to find our identity in the scriptures. You see, John was so rooted and found his identity in the scriptures that when they asked him, who are you and what do you say about yourself? he answered right from the word of God. Now, I'm not saying we need to go around and be strange and weird and just always talking, you know, Bible verses. I mean, yeah, you could have a normal conversation. But what I'm saying is that find your identity. Find your identity in the scriptures and embrace that. And so when you see these things working for Jesus, when you see these things working for other people, if it worked for them, it'll work for you. That's why it's there for us to say, yes, that's who I am. Because the two things that will matter the most to how far you go in this walk with God is one, is how you view God and how you view yourself. How you view God and how you view yourself. Think about that one story in Numbers 13 where Moses sent the 12 spies into the promised land. So the promised land, this is what they've been going after for 40 years. This is it. This is the thing that God's been telling them. This is his promise. This is the work he's given them to do. And he sends the spies to go see what it's like. And so they come back. And so we all know the story. Two spies said, yes, we can do it. 10 said, uh-uh, there's giants there. No, it's a good land for sure. A lot of good things there, but I don't know. We're just like little grasshoppers. And so they saw themselves as grasshoppers. They saw the giants. And so they knew that God had called them to take that land, but their view of God was obviously too small because they thought that the giants were bigger than God, and the giants were definitely bigger than they were. And so they didn't. And so they didn't take the land. Only two people, Joshua and Caleb, out of all those millions of people. Think about that. Two people out of, I don't know, a million or two people, some people estimate, got to go into the promised land. Why? Because of the condition of their heart. Guard your heart, for it determines the course of your future. Because their hearts were not focused on the right thing. Their hearts were looking at all the external things rather than what God had said. And so these are the things that we need to do. These are the ways that we're going to live the empowered life and be able to accomplish what God's called us to. Let's go over to Romans 12 and let's start to wind this thing down here. Romans 12. And we all know verse 2. We've heard it a lot, but it's a good scripture. It's a good one for us to revisit here. Romans 12, 2. And again, I'm reading from the NLT, so it might be like a little different than what you have. But mine says, don't copy the behavior and customs of this world. Now, how is it that we copy anything? We imitate, we see it, and then we go do it. So he's talking about what are you looking at? What are you imitating? What are you following? He says, but instead, let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. Then, or, you know, here's the outcome. Here's the result. Here's what happens if you do that. Then you will learn to know God's will for you, which is good and pleasing and perfect. So sounds to me like we only have two choices. Sounds to me like there's only two flavors at this ice cream stand, chocolate or vanilla. Okay, that's all you get. You're going to either be conformed or you're going to be transformed. That's it. Every single person who walks this planet is going to do one of two things. We're either going to be conformed to the external environment that we're in, or we're going to be transformed because of the internal environment that we have created. And how do you do that? By getting a heart filled with the Word of God, by guarding your heart and not letting the external get your attention so much so that you end up copying the customs and the behaviors of the environment that you're in. We need to be transformed internally. from the inside out, not from the outside in. And so that takes work. That takes effort. That takes discipline. But that's what gets us to the other side. It's like what James says in James 1, where he's talking about don't just be hearers of the word, but be doers of it, right? He says, because someone who merely listens to the word, but then doesn't do it, he says, is like someone who sees their face in a mirror and then walks away and then forgets what they look like. So he's not saying that you don't know who you are. He's saying that you saw yourself in a mirror and you saw that, you know, maybe your hair needed done or you had something on your face, some dirt or whatever, and you didn't do anything about it. What you saw didn't impact your actions. You saw it. Okay, I see my face in a mirror and I see that I gotta comb my hair, but I didn't do it. So he said, what good is that? Because all you're doing is seeing what needs done, but you're not doing it. He says, but the one who will continually look into the perfect law of liberty, or the one who will continue in God's word, the one who will stay focused on God's word, he says, that's the one who will be the doer of the word, and is the doer of the word that will be blessed. It's the doer of the word that will see results. It's the doer of the word that will get to stand at the end of their days like Jesus and say, Lord, I brought you glory on earth by completing the work you've given me to do. It's the doer of the word that will get to go into the promised land when everyone else dies on the other side. It's the doer of the word who will be transformed by their mind being renewed rather than being conformed because of lack of effort. Hallelujah. Let's go over to Hebrews 13. Hebrews 13. I like that one story, and it's in Luke 24, where Jesus came back from the dead, and so there's two of his followers, and they're walking down the road, it says, on the road to a town called Emmaus. And so they're talking about what happened, you know, because, man, they thought he was the Christ. They thought he was the one who was going to make it all right. And so then they watched him die. And they're like, now what are we going to do? And so they're talking about all this. And so as they're walking, some stranger just comes up alongside them and starts walking with them. And so he's asking them what they're talking about. And they're like, well, what do you mean we're talking about? Obviously, we're talking about what happened because it was the biggest thing that's ever happened around here. And so they're talking about Jesus and him dying on the cross and all these things. And so Jesus, who they didn't recognize at first for whatever reason, starts to talk to them. And it says that he opened the scriptures to them. And so as they're walking and talking, he's opening to them the scriptures and he's teaching them and he's explaining to them all these things. And so they get to where they were going, and so they go inside, and so they have a seat, and so they're going to eat, and so they get the bread, and Jesus breaks the bread, and in that moment it says their eyes were opened and they knew who he was. And then all of a sudden, he's gone. They're like, well, why did he do that? I don't know. But then they say something. I think it's in verse 32. They said to each other, they said, didn't our hearts burn within us as he walked with us along the way and explained the scriptures to us? I love that. Because that's the same thing that Jesus wants to do today. He wants to come alongside of you as you're walking your way, just going through life, just going to school, going to work, going to the store, whatever you're doing, cutting the grass, walking the dog, whatever it is, going to practice. He wants to come alongside of you in just your everyday, ordinary life, not only in church, but also in the other 167 hours of the week. He wants to come alongside of you and start talking to you and to open the scriptures to you. Why? So that your heart will burn. Burn in a good way. Burn with passion, burn with vision, burn with enthusiasm, burn with wisdom, burn with compassion, burn with the things of God, so that we don't just bump around because of boredom. Life is too precious to live bored. Life is too precious to live just in front of a screen all day. He wants your heart to burn. To burn for lost people, to burn for the church, to burn for your children, for your grandchildren, for the next generation. He wants your heart to burn for the plan that he has for you. You know, we sang here earlier about that blood that he shed. He shed that blood to give us the privilege, to give us the opportunity to do something significant with our lives. But it's not going to happen if we just live a life conformed to the world that we live in. We need to be transformed. Transformed by a heart that has encountered the Word of God. The living, anointed Word of God that will light a fire inside of you that nothing can put out, that will carry you through thick and thin, that will carry you through every season of life, that will carry you through whatever it is that you need to get to until you get to the other side. You're not going to do it unless your heart is burning with the Word of God. When was the last time that your heart ever burned for anything? Search your heart. Why? Guard your heart. Why? Because it determines the future of your life. Guard your heart. Fill your heart with the Word of God. Ask the Lord, just like he did that day. Lord, open the scriptures to my understanding. Lord, open my heart to the scriptures. Let him light a fire inside of you, because the calling and the purpose and the path that he has you on is so valuable. It's too important. It's too significant to be treated any other way. It has eternal, lasting value. There are so many things in this world that we think have value, and in the end, they're dust. They're nothing. But there are things that will last and stand the test of time. Those are the things we need to live for. Live for the will of God. Live for the purpose of God. Live for the calling of God. Live for the plan that he's placed in your life. Don't let anything or anybody steal that from you, that you will get to the end of your days and be able to say like Jesus, Lord, I brought you glory on earth. I completed the work you've given me to do. I don't want to be an almost, or a could have been, or a should have been, or a might have been. I want to finish. How about you? Amen. Amen. I want to finish. And I want to finish strong. You can finish strong too. Amen. You in Hebrews 13. I want to just leave you with this blessing, with this benediction. You know, the writer of Hebrews comes to the end of his writing, and some people say it's Paul, some people say it's someone else. It doesn't really matter. It was authored by the Holy Spirit anyway. So he says here in verse 20, and he begins to end this book with a prayer. And so I want to end my message with a prayer, just to speak this blessing over you. And you might want to even just, you know, make this part of your life of prayer too. He says, now may the God of peace, who brought up from the dead our Lord Jesus, the great shepherd of the sheep, and ratified an eternal covenant with his blood. May he equip you with all that you need for doing his will. May he produce in you, through the power of Jesus Christ, every good thing that's pleasing to him. All glory to him forever and ever. Amen. May he equip you with all that you need for doing his will. Man, that's what I want. How about you? That's what I hunger for. How about you? Lord, equip me with everything I need to do your will. That's the empowered life. I want to ask you just right now, just where you sit, just to bow your heads and just keep your eyes closed, and not for any other reason, just to keep your focus where it belongs, not on someone else or something else, but just on you, just for a couple minutes, because you can't do yourself any good if you're not willing to get real and honest with yourself. One thing about all of us is that the longer we live, the better we get sometimes at lying to ourselves. And the worst thing about being self-deceived is that you stop even realizing that you're deceived. So if you're here this morning, and I want to ask you just to get real, just to get honest with you and God, and say, Lord, am I sold out to you? Is my heart on fire for you? Am I running my race 100% for you? Or am I just playing games or just bouncing around, or I used to, but now I've kind of wandered, kind of done my own thing, kind of gone my own way? Is there anyone here right now that would say, I just don't know for sure. I just don't know 100% for certain that I'm right with God. I'm not here to talk you out of anything. If you're right with God, you know it. And if you're not right with God, you know it too. And so if you're here this morning and you just search your heart and say, I'm not where I need to be with God. Maybe I used to be, but I'm not anymore. Or maybe this is the first time you've ever even been asked that question. It doesn't matter. But just be real with yourself. And if you're here and you say, I'm not where I need to be, would you just please raise your hand just so I know that you want to pray that type of prayer? Just so I know that you need that type of prayer. Thank you. Thank you for your honesty. Again, I'm not here to talk anybody out of anything. I want to just make sure that nothing else can. Okay, so why don't we all, every one of us, whether you had your hand raised or not, why don't we just pray this prayer after me, and just pray it with conviction, pray it with feeling, pray it like you mean it, not just mouthing words, all right? And let's do that because the Lord says that he answers our prayers. And so if we pray according to his will, he hears us. And so we know that if we ask him to come and live in our hearts, that's his will, and he'll hear us. He's paid a high price for this moment to happen. So let's do that right now. Just say with me, Heavenly Father, thank you for Jesus. He's my Savior. There's no other way. I have no other hope but Jesus. And so right here, right now, I open my heart. And I say, Lord Jesus, take me and make me everything you want me to be. I trust in you, your blood, your sacrifice, your cross to pay for my sins. And from this day forward, I want to live the empowered life. I want to finish my race. I want to complete the work that you've given me to do. Help me, Lord, to make the right choices. Help me, Lord, to stay on the way of the righteous. Help me, Lord, to get to the other side. Help me to serve you well and to do it with honor and to do it with joy and to do it with enthusiasm. Thank you for loving me. Thank you for being with me. Thank you for your promise. You will never leave me. You will never forsake me. I'm yours, and you're mine forever. Thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Now, let's just pray one more time. And so let's just pray out of those words that we just read in Hebrews 13. And let's just ask the Lord to equip us with all that we need to do His will. Lord, we thank you that we are your children. And Lord, we come in Jesus' name. We come with confidence and with boldness because of your grace, because of your word. And Lord, we look to you. And Lord, we trust in you, that you and you alone are able, but you're also ready and willing as well as able to equip us with everything we need, everything, every single thing, nothing missing, nothing lacking, every single thing we need, Lord God, to do your will and to live a life that's pleasing to you. Lord, that's what we ask for right here and right now. We open our hearts and we ask you, Lord, equip us, do the work that only you can do. And Lord, put us on the path that you have for us that will take us to the destiny, that will take us to the completion of your purpose, not our will, yours be done. Lord, help us live our lives for you the way that you see fit. And Lord, we look forward to it. We welcome it. And Lord, by faith right now, we receive it. And we give you all the glory and all the praise. Lord, we are going to run our race for you. You are so good. You are so good. And we bless you. And we praise you. And we thank you for it, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Now give him a shout. Amen. Give him a shout. Hallelujah. Give him a shout.